You are listening to Type Radio. My name is Gayane Bagdasarian. Now we are talking.
This is Type Radio.
Now we are talking.
Type Radio.
Now we're talking.
You're listening to Type Radio. My name is Donald.
I'm Lisa.
We're at the Cerebro Naboro conference in Moscow. It's September 20, 2015. And our guest is Gayane Bogdasarian. Well, you know the drill. You know the first question is, are you religious?
Yes, I'm an Orthodox.
Russian Orthodox?
Russian Orthodox, yes. Okay.
And does that influence your work or the way you do your work in some way?
Sometimes, yes. Because, you know, we Russians, we have some different opinions about religion. Now I'm living in Europe and I found that Europeans in general are not religious at all. And for Europeans, religious is something like about traditions and prohibitions, no freedom. But for us, it's different. Because in Soviet times, religious was prohibited. And during the perestroika, it came back. And it was a kind of freedom for us. And I still think the same way. Religious give us a freedom. And creativity also.
Okay. It's not that when you make a design, you say, please, please, let me have an idea before. Please go.
I think I say this word every time, maybe not consciously, but it's my conditions. I feel all life is miracle and creativity is also miracle.
And do you have rituals?
I don't go to the church very often.
But not necessarily the church, right? I'm not talking about religious ritual. It can be a ritual, can be like always a way of working or...
Not so much, no. I just have a general idea. I hope I understand general idea of Christianity and I try to live according to all this idea.
Could you explain something about like how type worked ever since before Perestroika and after? Because I read something about it and it was very difficult to understand how it actually worked before Perestroika.
Before the Perestroika, from my opinion, there was no type design.
Was it also considered art? Design was art, the same thing?
It was a craft before or...?
There was a coincidence.
Yeah, there was a coincidence, Perestroika and digital era. It happened at one time and we got a very big influence to go ahead and to create lots of new typefaces, and we created them digital by computers. But before, all typefaces were created on paper. We had lack of information about type design in the rest of the world. And of course, it's not good for any creativity process. That's why I organized this conference, in order to people can communicate, exchange experience, and see what other people do in this field. But in Soviet Union, because of Iron Curtain, we had no information, and it wasn't a good condition to develop in type design.
So was the digital revolution, you could say, was that also sort of be considered as a new freedom together with Perestroika? Like you be able to use a personal computer was also a personal freedom in some sense?
Yes, in some sense, it happened at the same time together. So it was Perestroika, all the freedom, democracy, and computers, religious, everything went together. And I feel I'm a child of Perestroika, and I'm happy to be the child of Perestroika. Nowadays, it changed, it's different. But I still keep all this mindset.
You started also working at Biotype, right?
Yes.
At the beginning, so that was quite pioneering. Everything that was done for the first time. Is that?
It was 1995.
Yeah.
I was a student at university, and I wanted to be a type designer, but unfortunately at that time there was no decent teacher at our university, so I went to Paratype and just said, I want to be a type designer, please teach me. But there already some type designers worked there, Vladimir Yefimov, Alexander Tarbeev, mm-hmm. we talked yesterday, and Tagir Safayev. They are older. At that time, they had some experience and they started to teach me. So for me, it was education. I didn't feel I created something new. Now I feel this way. Now I create something new because I have some experience, some knowledge, some skills, and now I'm able to create something new. But 20 years ago, it was just studying for me.
So how did you become interested in typography in the first place? Because it was not, I mean, there was hardly any education, so how did you?
First, I graduated from art college. Mm-hmm. I was a painter, but it was 92nd, and no demand for painters, and I lived in Ryazan. It's not big town, 200 kilometers from Moscow, and I didn't know what should I do with my diploma
and your paintings.
Painter, <yeah. laughs> So I realized that I should switch a little bit my occupation, and there was a demand for graphic design, and I decided to continue my education at University of Print in Moscow. And I had to pass the exam, four exams actually, painting, drawing, illustration, and type. First exams were easy for me because I had a painting education, but type was completely new, and I started to learn it and became excited and decided it looks much better.
You just said that it took 20 years for you to develop your skills. Is that also the reason that you recently, not so long ago, started your own foundry, your phone foundry?
I started my own foundry about 4 years ago.
4 years ago.
Yes, 4 years ago, so it took about 15 years. But I feel a little bit sorry that it took so much time, 15 years. Now, I always say to young people, start immediately.
Why is that?
Because you can get all the skills, I mean craft skills, during the process. But you have to reach the goal. So the goal should be very, very high from the start. Mm-hmm. Because our life is very short. Sometimes, for example, you know Lorenz Brunner from Line 2. He was here at Cerebro Nabora last year. His typeface, Akkurat, is very, very popular. But mm-hmm. it was a student project. Some people are so talented, and teachers shouldn't limit them. You know, there are huge numbers of typefaces nowadays. If you start to create some new typeface, it should be very, very, very new, very fresh. There is no reason to create one more boring typeface, which already exists. So from the beginning, You have to поставить высокую цель.
You have to mark your goal very high.
Yeah.
And start reaching it. Not try, but
not only learning, not only starting.
So it's about when you say you have to create something. That's also quite a high standard that can also block you from the way of work. You know, like if you say there's so many typefaces and only make something original. That can stop you from like, well, if this exists, that exists, I will never make something like that. So how do you, I mean, this is, it's so
It's getting harder and harder because of, like, there's so much typefaces coming out and fonts coming out.
Yeah, you should be very brave to do this. Yeah,
very, very brave. Because then if I look at, for example, I was looking at the typefaces that you have on your, and you have a Geometrica.
Geometry.
Yeah, and that one, also in the text I was reading, that there are many already geometric typefaces. So it didn't stop you to create also yet another one.
So for your opinion, it's not fresh enough.
No, yes. It's not that my opinion is not fresh enough, but if you say that you have to create something so original that it doesn't exist anywhere else, that is almost impossible to achieve, because it's possible, but
it's about a grade of freshness.
I've never seen this before.
Okay, maybe for you it's not fresh, but it should be fresh for me,
okay,
for the other. Yeah,
because we've talked about this with many type designers, and it's getting sort of a problem also because of plagiarism. Mm-hmm. Fonts are now looking like some other fonts more and more over the years, and especially now it's very hard to sort of make yourself seen and be a little different. That's very hard.
Yes, of course, it's very hard, and the biggest problem nowadays, this is the biggest problem, and most people think that it's impossible to create something new, and type designers started to create different scripts, but it's not about design, it's about language extension, mm-hmm, and about the technical side, but I think it's possible to find new shapes and new style. It's still possible. It's always possible. We have the same grade of creativity, the same as all our predecessors. So we don't have to give up.
Don't give up.
But of course, sometimes I drop my sketches. Sometimes I cancel almost a complete typeface just because I don't feel it's fresh enough.
Mm-hmm. But even like after a process of maybe 1-2 years of working on
it?
Not maybe
1-2 months.
Okay.
Yeah. But if it's not fresh enough, it just stay at my computer. I don't publish.
Okay. Do you have a lot of those that are in there and that have not?
Some.
You also created Cyrillic,
yes,
versions of existing typefaces from the West. That is sort of a relief, especially when you put the bar so high for your own work and you really are looking for that uniqueness. It must be some sort of comfort to just make the concept of the Western font, Latin font, and turn that into Cyrillic. Because it's somebody else's idea and not yours, so you can just try to translate that as good as...
I used to make a lot of Cyrillic extension, actually during those 15 years. Mm-hmm. And it's also the reason why I feel sorry about that. It's very difficult work to just add Cyrillic to typeface which is already exists. And yes, you cannot change the whole idea, the general idea. You just have to deal with the rules from the other designer. No, I don't feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. I prefer to create my
But it's also interesting because it's like you can learn a lot. You learn from that person that has this. If you respect the Latin typeface, you understand the reasoning behind certain decisions of that particular.
I prefer to learn. I just look at the typeface, mm-hmm, and learn how it's designed.
Yeah.
I don't need to create Cyrillic for it.
To learn it then?
Yeah, to learn it, I don't need.
So then why did it take you so long?
It was a big demand.
Okay.
That time I was working at Paratype, and we had no digital typefaces, and it was the easiest way to get big number of typefaces very quickly, mm-hmm, just to add the Cyrillic to Latin. Mm-hmm. It was that period, but it's over.
Okay.
Now we have to create from the beginning.
Are there ones that you look back that you think, oh, maybe they could be improved a little, like from the late 90s, eh?
It's not only about my younger times. After half year,
okay,
I want to change everything.
Okay,
that's why I cannot work at one typeface during the long period. When I start some project, I have to do it very, very fast, because after half year, 1 year, I lose my interest and I'm completely different designer.
I can relate to that.
Yeah. And you also have your partner that he works in Kazakhstan.
Yeah, right? He lives in Kazakhstan and we work, we communicate by Skype.
Okay.
We share our screen and drawing together. We don't divide our work. You do this, I do that. We do everything together.
Okay, so you don't have favorite letters. You don't say, oh, please, can I do this one?
There are some letters very, very difficult to draw. For example, G, Latin S, Cyrillic G. But we both don't like them.
Okay. Severta, no, you do it. No, you.
We try to do it together.
So your ideal alphabet wouldn't use the letter S, wouldn't use the letter G?
Actually, we draw tons of letter S and tons of letter G.
Okay.
Then you choose.
Both, yeah, both. And together and separately. We discuss these letters for a very, very long time. And it's very difficult to choose the right one.
And you also mentioned the conference where we are now. Why did you decide to start this conference?
Oh, it happened because of my stupidity. Yes. Because no one normal person never takes this responsible. Okay, I can tell about that story. It was about 4 years ago. I was going to Ukraine to my Ukrainian colleagues. They invited me to their small type event. And suddenly I realized that in Ukraine there were several type events, but no one in Russia. And I felt it was a shame. It was a big, big shame. Russia is a so big country, the biggest country in the world, and many type designers live here, and no one type event. And it was 23rd February, it's Day of Men. And I sent some messages to my friends, men friends, congratulated, and said, you know, it's a shame. Ukrainians have so many type events, but we haven't. It's a shame. We should fix it. And we should fix it immediately. And because it was a men day, nobody refused. Yeah. Nobody refused. And in 1 or 2 hours, the program of the conference was ready.
Oh, really?
It was not working day, it was holiday, official holiday. So the program was ready in 1 or 2 hours. But next morning when I woke up, I thought, oh my God, what did I do yesterday? But it was too late to back away, because I felt uncomfortable to all those people I invited. And I thought, okay, I will do it. But I expected it would be a very small event, maybe 20 people, maybe 30, 50 maximum.
Yeah.
I could not expect that it became so big international event now.
So how many, when, what year was this when you first started?
It was 2012, February. So 3.5 years ago when I came up with this idea.
And how many people did show up at the first conference?
First it was 900. It
was 900?
Yeah, it was free. And it was a very, very big success. Very unexpected success.
Especially if you expected only 50 maybe, and then you get
900.
Where did you put everyone?
Okay, about 300 were sitting, about 200 were staying around,
yeah.
About 400 were sitting at another room and just watching online translation.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh my God.
It was an incredible success.
And were there also international speakers?
No, the first one was a local.
Okay.
And after this big success, I decided to invite foreigners. And now it's absolutely not a problem for me to invite anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Jean-François Prochès,
yeah.
For example, I didn't know him person, but he agreed immediately. And he said, yes, I know about your conference. I know, I have heard. I will come for sure.
Okay.
Of course, I have to deal so much stuff. Sometimes I think, oh my God, what am I doing? Why I'm doing all this? What for? And sometimes I think, it will be the last one, and I will give up. But when people come, and I see all people, all speakers, all audience, and they are so happy to be here, and I get so many positive feedbacks, and I think, okay, I will keep on.
You're doing it.
Yes.
No, because it must be quite hard. You are living in Berlin, and you're organizing a conference in Moscow. That is quite a lot.
So. Because all the work online, and I have a very, very good partner, Katya. She is very helpful, and she can organize everything. I mostly communicate to speakers and complete the program and all this stuff. But
and what are your ideas of developing the conference further? Do you have a notion of sort of expanding it, making it bigger?
Oh, I think that's enough.
And next year, like, do you already know, like, have in mind who would you like to invite? Or
I would prefer not to say.
Oh, not yet. But you have an idea.
I have some ideas. Yes, I have some ideas, but I need to be sure
that they will say
yes. Yeah, yes.
Like, I thought last year was a very Dutch. The more Dutch
yes.
conference. This year is more mixed?
Yes, this year more mixed. Yeah. Two Americans, one German, Dutch, also Swiss. Yes,
French, yeah.
French, yes, French.
Argentinian?
Argentinian, yeah. Argentinian Dutch. Yeah.
Okay.
Last question.
How would you like to be remembered?
Oh, I would prefer not to pass away.
Okay.
That's
right. And I would prefer people always think I'm alive. Yes. And when I die, I would prefer nobody knows about that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is Type Radio. Now we are about where you want. We hear that. Type Radio. Now we are about where you want. We hear that. Type Radio. Now